to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Let me explain something on the tithe quickly. The tithe idea did not start in the Old Testament, right? People who say it's an Old Testament principle, they don't even know, some of them don't know what the Old Testament is. The Old Testament is not the first five books of the Bible, right? The Old Testament is the agreement between God and the Israelites through Moses. That's the Old Testament. So it begins with the commandments that God gave to the Israelites. That means before that, what existed was not the Old Testament. In other words, Abraham was not in the Old Testament. He was in the dispensation before the Old Testament. Whatever it is, it's a matter of discussion. But he was in a dispensation before the Old Testament. Now, when you study the Bible, you discover that Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest. The Bible says, under whose order Jesus Christ falls. He was this strange guy in the Old Testament. He was no past. No one knows his future. He has no beginning. He has no mother or father. We had such kind of a personality in the Old Testament, and there's very exciting arguments in theology about who Melchizedek was, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is like that kind of a person. So we have a situation where after the spoils, the Bible records once, right? I'm going to clear that. The Bible records one time when Abraham took a tenth and he gave it to Melchizedek of everything that he had. Are we following? But something interesting happens. You will notice that as at the time when Abraham was giving a tithe to Melchizedek, Isaac was not born. I'm telling you facts. I've not gotten to the revelation yet. Isaac was not yet born. But we see a situation where after Isaac is born, around 40 years old, 40 years of age, Isaac had Esau and Jacob. But later on, when Jacob ran away from Laban and he was at Bethel, he made God a promise. He said, if you save me from the hand of Laban and you take me where you are going to take me, well, I'm going to give you a tithe of everything that I have. All right? So the question that I would have then is, if this guy was not there when his grandfather was giving tithe, and his father was not yet born when his grandfather was giving his tithe, how did he learn about the tithe? I don't know if you're following me. How did he learn about the tithe? It suggests that it was a practice that they had. And it was passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Except my conclusion is that Jacob was not tithing. So now when he was in trouble, he now said, I'm going back to what I was taught if you save me from here. We now have a situation where the Old Testament now comes into the picture. And in the Old Testament, we see the repetition of the tithe. We see the tithe coming into play. So when the tithe is coming into play in the Old Testament, it is not the first time it is showing up. It was something that used to happen in the dispensation before the Old Testament. What God now does is that he just administrates it. He says that your tithe should go to the priests. Now, in the dispensation before, where was the tithe going? It was still going to priestly individuals. It's not everyone who was getting the tithe and using it. Now, remember what I was teaching you. I was saying, when you are studying the Old Testament, you need to know who said what they said to who. Then you would know if what is being said is for your learning or your benefit. Because not everything in the Old Testament is for our consumption. Some of them are just for our learning. But some of the things were a revelation of God's character. I'll give you an example. When I was teaching you from Numbers chapter number 30, I said, God said to Moses to instruct the children of Israel that if a man stops his daughter from fulfilling a vow which she made to God, God would forgive her of that vow. That's not a law. That's the revelation of authority. Because God is the one who instituted the office of a father. And if God begins to contradict a father in that regard, then he is contradicting his own authority. So that's not just an Old Testament agreement. It's a revelation of God's personality. He says, when a woman makes a vow to God and her husband holds his peace, her vows shall stand and she shall fulfill the vow. But when the husband hears of it and disagrees with it, she shall not fulfill her vows, and God shall forgive her of those vows. God shall let her go. So that's not just an instruction of life. Why is it like that? Because later on in the New Testament, we begin to see that the Bible says, man is the head of the woman, like Christ is the head of the church. So God likens himself to a man who is married. So that kind of authority is now revealed in the New Testament in consonance with what the Old Testament is teaching. Meaning, it is not just some kind of a law. No, it's a revelation of God's authoritative order. So when you're studying the Old Testament, those things, you need to know them. There are some which when you're reading, you will know. He took a lamb and he sacrificed it. You're not going to do that. That's for your learning. Are you following me? That's for your knowing where we are coming from. You understand that. So in the same way, when you are studying the tithe, you need to know where it came from, how it found itself in the Old Testament. It was not the first time it was appearing. But in the Old Testament, we see it being administrated because God now says, give it to the priest as a law. But even in the dispensation before, it was still being given to priestly personalities. Are you following me? Yes. Now, why is that so? Why is that so? Leviticus says this. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. That's the first issue. Meaning, God has a share of everything that happens on the earth. The tithe principle comes from this thing. It's a principle that God has a share. God has a share in everything that you will ever own. God has a share. In fact, what they used to be taught is, you will study this, I'm not going to go there. Even when you have children, your firstborn belongs to God. When you have a lamb, sheep, belongs to God, the first one belongs to God. For goats, what they will do is, if you cannot offer it, you redeem them. That means you bring the money equivalent to their value. For some of these animals which were unclean, they would do such things to some of them. The animals they termed unclean. Right? So the principle is God, everything belongs to God. Now, I'll tell you something. In truth, how many things belong to God? Of the 100% you have, how many things belong to God? No, let's be honest. Don't give me religious answers. Maybe some of you are lucky thinking it's my hard-earned money. I want you to follow me very carefully here because this is a life's principle. It says everything, look at that. In fact, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, meaning nothing does not belong to God. The earth is the Lord, the Bible says, and the fullness thereof. Nothing does not belong to God. Are we following? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. And he says, it is holy to the Lord. Let me explain that. The holiness part means it has to be set apart for the Lord. Because holiness means set apart. Set apart. The first meaning of holiness is set apart from all kinds of contamination. Set apart. But for them, they were taught, if you accumulate 10 coats, you have to remove one and give. If you have 10 vegetables, you have to remove one and give because it doesn't belong to you. That's how it was administrated. But the idea of the tithe does not come from the Old Testament. It comes from before that. So it does not belong to you. It belongs to God. So you can't give to God what belongs to him in this context. You can't. It says it's holy to the Lord, not to you, not to me. This one is holy to me. No, it's holy to. So this is why Malachi 3 now says that you have stolen from me. You have robbed from me. Because the revelation is that the tithe is holy to God. It belongs to God. It is his. So every time you take it, it's called theft. In fact, the accurate word there from Malachi is you have robbed me. I think that's the word he uses. You are cursed with a curse for you have robbed me. Yeah. There's a difference between theft and robbery. Any lawyer to explain to us the difference? Who is in second year? Law school. You should have done offenses against property by second year. Bupe, have you done, where's Bupe? Have you done offenses against property? Sister, take it. What is the difference between, just minor, you don't have to go in detail, the difference between theft and robbery. Do we have lawyers here? Offenses against property. Anyone wants to try? Huh? It's me here. She's looking behind.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. At least he has said praise the Lord. There are people who don't Google. She's not ready. That one is ready. You've Googled. Okay, here we go. Gulugulu. She was not Gulugling.
She's in the mass choir. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. So, theft, you deprive the owner without their consent of an item, and then it's elevated to another level known as robbery when you use violence to do that. And then it's elevated to another level known as aggravated robbery when you use a weapon like a stick or a gun and the like.
So from what she has said, it means you have stolen with force. And that's not me, it's the lawyer who's talking. Sometimes you say, no, these pastors, no, we've brought an educated person to show us. And the educated person has told us, robbery has a different meaning. So in case you see, one day they will be calling thieves and robbers. And there was the angels will say, no, the line is the time. So they will call you now and say, join the robbers. You say, no, me, I was just... Then they will show you the books. They will call the lawyer to show you that, no, it's actually, they are born from the same mother. Okay? Why? Because it belongs to God. I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to help you. You see, this is why I don't believe that only those who work must pay tithe. The only ones who must not pay tithe are the ones who don't receive what belongs to them. Because if you receive what's yours, then a tenth is not yours. Me, that's what I believe. So how much have you stolen? I know you are condemning the PF. They were thieves, some of you. God is looking at you. Different men of God will teach you different things, right? But for you here, that's what I teach you. So you pay. But it's very difficult to be a thief and not be a liar. Those are twin sins. They are twin sins. It's not possible. My study is if you are a thief, you're also a liar. If you're a liar, you're also a thief. These two. Okay, let me explain. I'm not trying to condemn God's children. I'm trying to open their minds. I'm trying to open their minds. If you are sitting in a very dark place and you don't know na mwingine, if yongoli, insoka, if nyerere spiders, everything has ended. You don't know that. Then I come with a light and sanika it. Then they begin to scamper. They climb you. They are jumping out. Would you say I'm the one who did that? No, I just sanikad. That's what the Bible says. His word is a. So ngombo kufulwa nishina sanika no mfuna bona wa pastor. The sanikling is working. But if I sanika, you know, it means I need to solemn sanika some more. I don't know why I'm enjoying this. Listen. When you don't tithe, you are saying, what I have, God did not give me. Yeah, because it's the only reason you should do. If, let's say, you steal money from the bank, it's not God who gave you. Don't tithe. But if you worked for it, or someone gave you, if you believe it's God who gives through people, then you got 10%, because it's not yours. It belongs to God. So you're not telling the truth. Is it honestly true that the money you have, God never gave you? Okay, or the money that God gave you was not enough. That's what you're saying. No, wait. Let's talk about this thing. Be honest. At least this one, you want to say, yes, it was not enough. Let's be honest. That's why I didn't give. It was not enough. But does it change the word? What prospers people is not when they give out of what is enough. It is when they obey regardless of the amount. So the woman who gave with the little she had, he said she is more blessed. Do you remember that woman who gave with the little she had? That woman was considered more blessed by Jesus. Jesus didn't say, yeah, this woman, please take back your money. Some people say, no, don't let the poor give. No. They are the ones who need to give the most. Because it says, give and it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you want good measure, you don't have, give. At least in this kingdom, that's how it works. So every time you have, but you choose not to tithe, you're not only are you committing a robbery, you're also saying, I didn't receive. Without saying it, you are saying it. That's why we say, you don't give your tithe, you pay. Tithe is also God's way to test your consistency and character. Don't do it once. Do it consistently over an outstretched period of time. That's called faithfulness. And faithfulness, according to the word of God, is the seed for multiplication. Faithfulness is a seed for multiplication. Faithfulness is a seed for multiplication. Faithfulness is a seed for multiplication. Don't do it once. Do it consistently. Consistently over an outstretched period of time. That's called faithfulness. It's a very rare character you find, especially in men. There are very few. That's why even the Bible wonders that a faithful man who can find. There's a scripture like that. Apostle Fred wrote an entire book because of this problem. How many have seen that book from Apostle Fred called The Faithful Man? Men, they get bored fast. They want new things. There are many who are like, you can't entertain my son with one thing. He will get bored fast. It's a fruit of the Spirit many men have forsaken. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So pay attention to it. We used to have abstinence, Iliche. What followed? Be faithful to one sexual partner. That's it. That one didn't last. It didn't last. They just said, use whatever you're going to use. Just protect yourself from sexually transmitted diseases. That's what they said. Use a condom. They can't manage the faithfulness. That one didn't last. Because they are not faithful. And you know, at university, something bothered me. There's a certain fellowship I was a part of. But when I saw how they joined anti-AIDS club, now, I'm not saying it's wrong to join anti-AIDS club, but I just felt like maybe on the altar, there are some things that should not happen. There are some things that should not happen on the altar. I just left that organ. I just left it. This place is very holy. It's very holy. All right? So, one way in which God wants to test your character for faithfulness is consistency. You know, sometimes you may not see it the first 3, 4, 5 months. Sometimes God is testing you on your consistency. Consistency. There are few people who are consistent. It's a rare trait. I don't know why it's like that. But God is looking for consistent men and women. And one way is, can you do it? This month you do it. There are some people who, when they do it 6 months, they are full. I think God now understands. Like, come on. But faithfulness, so it's a seed for multiplication. Because it says, he who is faithful in, that's the measure. It's a quantity they use to promote you to much. You just don't have to manage the few things. No, manage the few things over a long period of time without looking down on them. You see, for example, for you pastors, if you have a zone which does not have a lot of people, you can determine how much you are promoted in the spirit. So the way I used to teach, when 40 people have come for church, I used to teach in my head there are thousands of people. That's the intensity that I put into my teachings with a few people. And the way as a pastor, I tried by all means to be there for people. In the spirit, there are promotions. So don't just say, oh, he just came with a nice bald head and a lot of English and funny jokes. There are many people like that. In fact, I've met a lot of people who are very good preachers but bad pastors. You know, you can tell a pastor by their interrelations with people. There are people who can preach, but when you look at how they relate with people, you can't make a mistake of appointing them to that position. You will mess up your ministry. So, the pastorate calling is about faithfulness to people. But if everyone is coming to complain about you, you just remain with the anointing to preach. That's good for you. But that pastorate anointing is an expression of God's heart to his people. So can God express himself through you to his people? No, but you like your space. You can't, you're a pastor, you can't say, you can't be getting overwhelmed. We add you to 10 WhatsApp groups, there are too many. You can't. We'd give you, do this, do that, do that. So there are promotions in the spirit. Do you know how many WhatsApp groups I'm in? I told you, a spirit of excellence manages. Daniel was part of, he was in charge of 120 provinces. 120 provinces, and yet there was no error in his account. Do you know what that means? You can't oversee 120 provinces. There's not even technology. Even if there was technology, it means some of the things Daniel did is he learned to reproduce himself in others. There were people who he learned to reproduce, and he entrusted them with responsibilities. And those people trained other people to work the way Daniel trained them to be. In other words, I'm expecting pastors to be able to grow pastors, deacons to grow deacons. Not just, no, me, the way I was chosen. No, try to help others become like you. Try to help others become like you. Reproduce yourself. You should be able to say, ah, this one is deacon material, this one is coordinator material. Not just, mwalisalu afe, mwalafe mkano, nima 144,000. People just envy you when they look at you. Just praying to God, njendo, lwendo, pamonava, salwa. They are just, you are the salwad ones. Don't. want, reproduce yourself in others. Are you following me? Yes. It's part of faithfulness. Everyone they gave you as a cell leader has left. They've gone to other zones. Oh, and also let me just say something. The fact that you have closed school does not mean you have to change your zone. No. When you close school, it doesn't mean you have to change your zone. No. Don't change your zone. Now, maybe your school is not meeting. Meet online. Yeah. Unless your pastor allows you, don't leave your zone because you've closed school. You will be traveling, going there for sale. Amen. Home is never too far. Amen. We don't want that disorder. Let me tell you something. Do you know what I learned in ministry? It is not the ministers. It's pastors among themselves. They are cool. It is members that bring confusion. You find, we now have to church na join naimbi. We now have to zone na join naimbi. And then, you never told me. And then it seems the pastor there has welcomed you. And he has not communicated to the other pastor that I've received this one. Now, this one doesn't believe I have to communicate. Now, the problem is that you told the pastor you joined, or the zone pastor you joined, you told them, no, actually, no, we are good, because I talked to the pastor. But you are lying. So you find this pastor is offended at that pastor. That pastor doesn't know. They were supposed to be cool, but the member is what the one that brought confusion. You need to help your zonal pastors. Have you ever read the story of Chimpatanya? Okay, let me tell you the story. I've never told it before. Let me tell you. So one day, two kalulus were farming. One was this side, the other one was, they were facing each other. So I chimpatanya, the chava temen with a body stuffy fin, the chari on pop fair wing. So for chaff where you green, yellow. The chimpatanya never liked them. So that chimpatanya one day wore this side green, this side, and passed like this. One Kalulu said, have you seen this guy who has passed? Yes, yes. What is he wearing? He's wearing green. No, he's wearing yellow. You, it's green. I saw you. My eyes are sharp. You. So they said, you know what? Let's continue. And the chimpatanya came this other side now. Passed. You know what? I'm sorry. You were right. No, I'm the one who's sorry. You are right. Guys, and he's setting, and that's what they thought secretly. And he's setting, guys, oh, you on a bunch. They continued. Then Chimpatanya passed the last time. you. So I was right in the first place. That's how they asked each other. They killed each other. They started fighting. Yeah, the Chimpatanya, I was right in the first place. Let's fight, you know? Like the typical Chinese movie. The old one, I don't know about the new ones. Where are you going? To the market. To do what? To buy onions. Why not tomatoes? Let's fight. And they would fight. So the people who were working together in the first place, they were okay. Until the chimpatanya. Don't be a chimpatanya. Don't be a chimpatanya. It's a Hebrew word for the person who causes differences. Who causes discord among brethren? Hallelujah. Don't. When you close school, stick. If your pastor says you'll be meeting online, because sometimes what happens, like what happens, at one point, Unza had about 200 people coming. Then the moment you closed, you went to your zones. That's how people disappeared. When you leave school, The Unilas cell is also closed. There's a problem. It means you are the problem. You will not graduate. I will not allow you to graduate until we have people of your kind. I don't know what you do. You will fast. You evangelize until you reproduce yourself. So this thing for you are in fourth year. You are not interested in the people before that. You are even lucky you have a pastor who will force you. If I leave you to God, it will be bad. So don't say I'm difficult. I'm trying to help you so that you don't meet God. If you meet me, you can even laugh. You can say, no, pastor, it's not like that. But with God, so you can't. You can't leave until there are other people who join because of you. When you're about to graduate to leave a place and the cell is dying, you should shiver. You should shake. Mama, I made it with your mother. But with God, you just left your institution. You've not done anything. There's a problem. Okay, it's the light. Now, listen. So, the tithe. The tithe. It's you consistently saying, what I have, it's God who gave me. What I have, it's God who gave me. Every time you give, you're also saying, Lord, whatever I have, you're the one who gave me. It's a good thing to say. Now, I'm not sure if I should say what I want to say. I think you have said that I shouldn't read this question, all of you. I was just innocently flipping it. All right, let's go. How can you fight? I've not spoken about the blessing side of the tithe. Because you've heard it a lot. Let me speak the strict side. You've heard it today. How can you fight the pain, torture, rejection, and neglect you were subjected to during childhood? Now, this is a very sensitive question because people go through this a lot. Some people, for example, they go through a patch where their parents are so argumentative that they don't want to get married. They say, if marriage is like that, then I don't want to get married. And they've got a genuine reason why, because of the things that they saw. For some people, they lived with step-parents or just abusive parents. When they are beaten, they were beaten indeed. You know, there are things that we go through. When I was younger, when I was younger, my father used to pray every morning aloud. Every morning aloud. For as much as I can remember, he used to do that. So when I went to visit somewhere at a relative's place, I was young. I wasn't hearing the man doing that. I was in shock. Now that shock is even like, you know what I mean? When I was younger, my father used to sit us down every Thursday to teach us the word of God. And there's some things which I thought were like every father does these things. When I went to secondary school, I was young, so I was probably a little cocky. So when I noticed like the level of ignorance there, I was in shock. I almost asked, your daddy never used to teach you these things. Now I was young, remember I was in grade 8. So something. Now these days you get shocked in the heart, you are quiet. What happened? So you find that, listen, many of the way that people grew up begins to define their character and personality. There are people, for example, I dealt with a certain young lady who said, I watched my father abuse my mother so often. So one day, she was dating this very good young man, prayerful guy. Then one day, I think he crossed her. Yeah. She raised her voice at him and banged the table. And the man was shook. He came and said, Daddy, it's over. I said, why is it over? No, the violence I saw. So we went to this sister. We said, you are one of the most prayerful, loving. What happened? He touched a certain dimension in her, which when God was saving this sister, she hid it. So that part was not washed in the blood. Because it's precious. Sometimes people hold some of these memories so dear to them that they will listen to anything. But when you touch that area, they say, can we discuss that other issue? Not this one. Because it becomes like an idol. It's like an idol. Listen. So those things define sometimes the way you express yourself. Sometimes those things define also how you relate with people. There are times when some people grew up with step-parents or just people who never used nice words. They never heard, you look so pretty, hey, Mr. Handsome. The thing some of you were told when you were young. Hey, beautiful, they used to tell you nice, and you need to feed your children those things. You are brilliant. Ha! Just one thing that your child did, or a child, you are so brilliant. Wow, I've never met an sweet, intelligent kid like you. There are few. You get my point. You do those things very deliberately. By the way, did you know that a person's conscience begins to be formed in the mother's womb? So there is what is known as the subconsciousness. It means things that you do without knowing that you're doing them. Things that you are likely to say. Those were built a long time ago whilst you were in your mother's womb. And this is why the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a process that you may test that which is the good. To travel from the good to the acceptable, to the perfect will of God requires a certain level of mind transformation. You see, this is why the ministry of teaching is very cardinal, because we help people have a mind renewal. And this is why when you are taught what you are taught, it's not just for your benefit. Keep it so that you can explain the same to others. All of you are expected to teach the things that you've been taught, right? So the issue is that the things that people go through begin to define them. There are people who say, I've met actually several people who tell me, when I grew up, I didn't grow up with a parent. They died or they divorced. And as a result, they say, I don't think for that reason I would like to have children, because I may just die and leave them. Now, you look at how you're shocked. There are people who say, yeah, that's correct. Because they had an experience of not growing up with a parent. And it may not even be that they grew up in a bad environment. It's just knowing that I never grew up with my parents. Why did they die? Are you seeing that? So there are all of these issues that need the church. There are things that prayer can do, but prayer cannot renew the mind. It takes teaching and counseling. And this could be the reason why counseling is taking a center stage more than what the church is doing. Because the church can teach. No, the church can pray. But many of them have not learned to counsel others. Meanwhile, the kind of counsel that is in the church is greater than what those people can give you. Because what those people can give you is clinical, but for us, we can touch your soul in such a spiritual, impactful way. And all those who are into counseling, look, what therapy does, when I study, because I've seen it, it's not different from what the Word of God teaches. It's just that they don't put scriptures. They just don't put scriptures. But it's not different from what the Bible teaches. They don't go to insult you. to go and deal with the people who did that to you. No, they'll tell you, forgive yourself. They'll tell you, revisit these areas, what happened to you. Those are things that the church should be doing. Not just telling people to revisit their areas, but you pray for them so that the spirit behind the area can disappear. Because there are some cases which affect the mind. A spirit is not a part of them. But for some of them, after they visit the area now, that's when they become worse. Because now the spirit is like, ah, wabuela. And then the person's state is worse than it was. So the church needs to come up. One of the first things you learn in Christ is your identity. Who are you? There's a difference between who you were and who you are now. So, there's a redefinition that we get in Christ. Number one, you're forgiven. Number two, you are loved. Number three, all things are past away. Behold, all things are new. So, when people come into Christ, there's a new definition of their identity. But not everyone knows it. And for some who know it, not everyone has had an experience of what it means to have a new identity in Christ. So, even though they are in Christ, some people, here's the problem. The problem is that when you're born again, it's a problem, huh? When you're born again, it's not like suddenly you have like white hair, voo, the holy ones of God. It's not like that with a robe, like when people give their lives to Christ, they come here, nothing changes outside. They just go back the same guy they were before. Nothing changes. Their eyes are not, you know, in what? In blazer mode. No, it's not like that. So their bodies are the same. Even their mind is the same. The only thing that changes is their spirit. But their spirit is now living in an untransformed mind, an untransformed body. So you find that the way you were thinking after you were saved is the same. You can even have the same cravings. You have the same friends. Benadododo, they have not gone anywhere. Benatoxina, they are still your friends. And you see, the topics of discussion have not changed. They are the same. Sometimes you find that even the cravings of alcohol that you used to have, even after, you still have them because they are in the soul. So you find in your mind, you are still the same girl who never grew up with parents. Meanwhile, in truth, you've been adopted. And you see, even if your parents were alive, they can't match to the fatherhood of the father that you have been adopted by. That's in truth. That's in truth. In truth, you are forgiven. There are people who, even after they are forgiven, you see, you still have a memory of your sins. They don't get deleted. There's no button to, you can't flash. Say, no, this is a new mind now. You go to an evangelistic flasher, then they flash for you the mind. It doesn't work like that. That means sometimes once in a while, the devil will be visiting those memories of the wrong things you did. You almost took your life. The devil takes you on a walk to that place. E type E, they don't forgive the Lord. I agree with you, Lucifer. So you are still visiting the same spaces. Because that's why I told you, I don't believe in forgive and forget. You're disagreeing with me. When you forgive people, have you forgotten yourself? No, why? So why not join me? I believe in forgive. But when you remember, you should not be feeling the pain. You know, the problem is when you remember what they did to you, one finance, peanut butter for at the heart. When you remember what they did to you, you feel what you. That's good. When you see your ex, how do you feel? After 10 years. Now, I'm not saying after 1 month. Maybe that one we can discuss. But I'm saying after 10 years. When you look at a person, sometimes you even want to go and apologize. You know, Thank you for breaking up with me. There are people who... Okay, let me address this issue. You know, there are people who... You have moved on. You broke up. It bothers me. It bothers me. You've moved on, you broke up. But the moment you see that your sister or your friend is now dating him, you are angry. And the reason is that he broke the cis code. Who wrote it? Now let's ask a question. Who wrote it? Now, imagine if your man now discovers that you are angry, that a friend of yours is dating a man you broke up with. So, a copo no be panti mwali lemba siskot. No, listen, that it's awkward does not mean it is sinful. That it's awkward does not mean it's sinful. So now you're not only bitter at your ex, you are bitter at your friend. They are fake. How do fake people look like? So some of these things, no one told me who wrote the cis code. Now listen, it's different if maybe whilst you were dating, they were cheating. It's different. He never told you, but you had even suspicion. That's different. Now your friend was single. But you even moved on. You're with a good man, but you're still angry. Can you imagine what? He broke the cis code. Who wrote it? So, forgive. And when you remember. But some of you, listen. The problem is, in one church, you had too many dating situations. Sometimes that's the issue. And let me just advise all my sons who are single. In a ministry like this, where you come, you see all the beautiful girls. Be careful before you choose one. Take your time. Because you will become famous. You will rise up the ladder of fame. In the Bible, there are many famous people. Thomas is famous. Judas is famous. There are many famous people. The issue is, for what are you famous for? Now, I'm not trying to attack anyone, but I'm just saying, some of you are new here, and you see these girls are coming, welcome to Hof, and when you look at the teeth, you are slain. When you look at the smile, whatever you like about a girl, you will find it. Now you will find it 4 times. You are finished. This one, you spoke a bit. This one, you were texting. And then you find that they are friends. Then they now discuss you. They are not gossiping. You brought it upon yourself. Tell a son next to you who is... Tell them you need to be patient. Uzakan kala famous. Uzakan kala famous. And you need to help these girls, huh? You need to help them. Every person has got their own problem. Girls, they don't gossip. They just share what's on their hearts. So you need to help them stop sharing. They are so generous with information. It's a weakness. So you found this one I shared with that one I shared with this one, before you know it. You know, the Bible says his fame went abroad. You find they are discussing in Charimbana. Abroad. You are a whole phenomena. And all the sisters said. Are you seeing that they have a problem? The way they've just agreed. The way they've just agreed. Kai. Okay. Zagwindos. Mani enimas. Okay. So, sorry, I didn't tell you what to tell to the brothers. Tell them, relax. Tell a brother, relax. Now, the point I was making is the sis code. You are offended now. It's been years, 10 years later. You are even married with children. You don't want to associate with your friend because what of what they did to you. No, you've not been in that situation. Let me help someone. So what's your identity now in Christ? Some people don't want to. You see, this is why people stay in abusive relationships. There are some girls who said, I got pregnant for that guy and I lost the child. Maybe I aborted or something. So even if that guy, the girl knows that this one is a fool, they will have a chipubachandi spirit. So you find the relationship is so abusive, but because of what they did together, God has forgiven them. It's them who've not forgiven them, because themselves, because they're saying, which man will now accept me with this background? Yeah, there are many. There are many. There are many. So you find that they will stay in a very abusive, sinful relationship. You are destroying your value. Leave. God will provide something new. Some people are bitter at God. From the time that thing happened, they failed an exam twice. They say, I prayed. So it now you find that these offenses begin to define a person's relationship with God, relationship. So you find, let's pray. They say, no, last time I prayed, the person still died. I'm not sure. Me, when I pray, people die. You have a special grace. Just move on. I told you last time that for some people to die, it's God's grace. There are people who the grace of God is the one responsible. Grace, not anger. I will explain it, not here. Are you following me? So a person who cannot... A person who cannot get over their past and who was hurt by their past needs two things, prayer and counseling. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Among other things, he said, to heal the brokenhearted. There is an anointing in God to heal broken hearts. Some people only believe in the anointing to heal the sick and raise the dead. But there's an anointing to deal with your emotions. A special grace in God to help you get over things of the past. Are you following me? There's a special grace in God. I have personally experienced it. Let me tell you a story. When I broke up with my girlfriend, I was the one who was heartbroken and depressed. Like, I was super depressed. And I never wanted to show it with Apostle Fred. I would always be, you know, smiling in pain. I didn't want to show it because I have to be a man of God. At that point, I was still mentoring when Pastor Flavian, So I have to be strong for them. 2016, I would sleep crying and wake up crying. For a number of reasons. Why? Because us, we are the type when we are in love. It's over. We put all the eggs in one cup. They have to fit the eggs. You need to know your type. But also, one of the pains was the fact that God said no. But me, when Jesus said no, me, I said yes. So it was that kind of feeling, and this is disobedience. You disobeyed. And the devil wasn't leaving me. Every time you want to preach, abuela. Nachawa famous to remind you. You disobeyed. So it was just a lot of things, you know, and I've grown up well. Why did I? And God was quiet. So this one time, I went to sleep. And when I slept, I had a dream. I was driving my whole family. I was the one in charge of the steering, a nice big black car. And then, I don't know, I did something silly, and then we just flipped. And I didn't know what happened to everyone. I came out, and I was kneeling, and I was crying. Then all my sins now came to me. And the devil was telling me, no, you've also damaged your family. Hey, Manja, I feel bad for you. It was bad. It was a dream. And in that moment, I saw my father appear to me. And he was so angry at me. I also saw my spiritual father. He was just there feeling sorry for me. I've never shared all the details, and I don't, but one day I will. And so, Jesus now appeared on the scene. Pew! Ah, I said, Jesus. I wanted to now tell him. I wanted to ask him how he's doing. How are you, sir? What do you do when Jesus appears to you? How are you feeling? How are your hands? You can just to show that you care, you know. What I did was I was kneeling when I was crying. I stood. I wanted to run away. I found him here. So I told him, look, I wanted to explain to him. Then he said, forget it. Then he gave me a hug. I cried. That one for the Tana Jew tea. The Tana Jew tea with my buns, with margarine. You don't understand. You didn't grow up in my day. At night, because you will wet the bed. So they will say, uitanua tea will. There's a campaign. There's a way it used to feel, that campaign. There's a way it used to. Ask Job. Yeah. So. I cried. And he was just holding me. He was just telling me, forget about it. I wanted to tell him, I'm sorry. I couldn't, because the love, it was coming in like waves. Just, and then I went into a vision. In that vision, I was seeing his heart and mine. And his love was moving from his heart to mine. And all my disobedience, my debt, and my depression was moving from my heart to his. Yeah! I cried, I grew. I woke up crying. I was even embarrassed because the tears were not coming out. Apostle Fred will find me, you know. You need to ask your friends what they are going through. Some of you, you find you are sleeping next to your friend. Your friend is depressed, you don't know, because people put up a face. Many people who have these depression episodes, they put on faces. Now, I noticed I was crying tears of joy. I didn't understand. And I kept crying, I cried. So I hid myself in the blanket. I cried. So me? Why? I'm wondering why I'm crying. After some time, I came out. So I noticed I was happy. At night, I was happy. So in my mind, I'm thinking, this depression is bad. I'm even happy. and these episodes of psychosis now, like, it's so bad, you're now laughing. Have you ever been in a situation where someone does something extremely offensively hilarious that you just laugh? You don't know. I felt I was now entering that dimension. But no, like, I was legit happy and had energy for life. And I waited 1 week. I had never been that happy. That's when I knew, indeed, Jesus visited me. So now, I didn't know what it meant. For a long time, I never understood it. Till after about a year later, I was talking to a friend of mine who said, you know, a girl broke my heart. And I loved this girl so much, I saw my beginning and my future with her. So when she did it, I was not ready. I was so depressed that when I slept, I told God, please take this away. I don't think I can handle it. When I woke up, it was gone. Then in that moment, the Holy Spirit told me, it's a revelation many Christians don't know. I said, what? Then he said, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, and to heal the brokenhearted. Your depression can vanish in a moment. You see, there's a wisdom in people telling you it goes with time, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. Sometimes, listen, the revelation that you've opened your heart to is the one that works. I'm giving you a new one. You can tell the Lord, Lord, I can't. Take this thing away. Sometimes it's a death of a parent. Sometimes it's sins of old. Sometimes it's mistakes that you made that you feel have caught up with you and it's just bothering you. See, the Bible says he took our sorrows. Give me Isaiah 53. It's not just your sickness that he took. It was your sorrow. He took your griefs. So you can imagine, even if I remember that thing, it doesn't pain me. It's an empty memory. It's like a bottle of Coca-Cola. You remove the Coca-Cola. Look, surely he has carried our griefs and our sorrows. Are you seeing that? He has borne our griefs and our sorrows. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens were lifted at Calvary. Burdens were lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens were lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. You don't have to carry them. Someone carried them for you. He paid a very heavy price. If you could just say, Lord, I lay these things at your feet. I let them go. See, this is also how you cast your cares. The Bible says, cast your care. Some you ask, how do you cast? I've seen this scripture. I want to cast the care. How do I cast? Every time you wake up and there's this bill, you have to pay rentals, you don't have money, and it burdens you. You say, in the name of Jesus, I cast all my cares on. That's how you cast them. By saying, I cast them. Don't complicate things. Say, I cast. Then you will notice a peace will come upon you. You sleep. If the enemy comes again, you say, I cast. Okay, what if I have this sickness? Sometimes it's a question. Sometimes a question, what if I have this sickness? Sometimes the question is greater than the sickness itself. Because you see, thoughts and mental, psychological disposition can impact your immune system. You know, there are people who, before they are told they have a sickness, they're just feeling like a discomfort. The moment they tell you, oh, what you have is Skybrosis kybridia. And the doctors have all kinds of names. Skybrosis kybridia. So now they are told this is the problem you have. That's when they say, ooh, they don't even know what it is. So that's when now it manifests. So you find that the thought coupled with it's like a breeding environment for the pathogen. So that's why your thoughts must be cast on him, the ones you don't like. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me answer two more. I'm going to be praying for all those who feel like God needs to heal them of a past, that every time you go back to it, something is going to move from your heart and from your mind. It's going to be traced back to the cross and it's going to be cast there. And then something will move from the cross into your heart. Are you listening to me? Yes. If you're here, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I feel that anointing. Let me not delay it. Now, don't worry. You're gonna feel some people here are going to cry. If you feel like crying, don't be tough. Just begin to cry. That's where your healing is going to be. Some things that never were dealt with, God wants to deal with them. Some are errors. Some were offenses. Just close your eyes. Spirit of the living God, I release that healing power upon you right now. Every offense of the past, your parents were never there for you. You were raped, you were abused. I visit that area with you now, and we cancel its effect. We cancel its effect. We sweep it away in the name of Jesus. We sweep it away in the name of Jesus. I release the waves of love by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is touching you. People who defiled you when you were young, you've never told anyone about it. Don't worry, God is greater than your secret. Touch. 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 From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, touch. Let the waves of love, let the angels that carry the love of God, let the Spirit of God begin to touch you. In the name of Jesus, He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. He carried your sorrows. He took it. Just close your eyes. Focus on your life. Receive that. It's a wave of love. It's coming upon you. In his hands, he's got the whole world. Father, let it rain fire to consume every sickness of the soul. Let it rain love to envelop them and assure them of your presence. In the name of Jesus, right now, from my left to my right, let every emotional sickness be healed. every area of the past, every offense you had at God, in the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive a cleansing, receive a healing, receive emotional healing.